This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm going to disagree with that, Danny. I didn't like the pre-sequel. And I'm not.
That's true.
I'm not in love with three. It does not hook me the same way. Two. I think Borderlands 2 is probably a top five game all time for me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That makes your five.
So
let me guess your five. Let me guess what I know about you. I want to put some games in all your right. five. I know BioShock is your favorite game of all
that's
time.
That's my number one.
All right. So
it's my Jaws.
That's your Jaws. Does The Last of Us make it into your list?
As far as you know, what's so difficult, Danny, is like there's so many different qualifications for games. Like, because I could put StarCraft in that list just because of how much time I turned and burned on it. But as far as a narrative and like being emotionally moved by a video game, definitely top five. But you know, it's not a lot of replay value. You know what I mean? In that game, you kind of experience it, and then it kind of ends. So that's a tough call.
So if that's part of the criteria, is the ability to pick it up and play it again, that would change my five as well. I think that's a good point. Okay, so I've got BioShock. I'll throw Gears of War in there. I don't know which Gears of War is going to make your five, but I think you like the first one because the quest is only 21 minutes long, and that's what you want.
Well, I think, wherever they introduced Horde mode, that is, to me, the pinnacle of online gaming, and it's kind of as that has gone away, I have stopped engaging at all with people online. Just because it was, okay, I know these four people, and we are fighting the computer, and no one is going to call me a racial slur and scream at me in a high-pitched voice. That's what I was interested in. I probably, you know, it's been so long, and I don't like that franchise anymore. Like, I haven't bought the last two games. But probably as far as impact. See, that's what's so difficult, Danny. Am I just listing my favorite games or the ones that I know meant the most to me throughout the course of playing them? It's a difficult thing to do.
It's a very difficult thing. Okay, so now let's establish our criteria. I'm going to say these are just your favorite games.
All right.
Okay, so forget about critic score. Forget about, well, I know that this is better than that or this graphic, whatever. Just your favorite games, your five. Desert Island style, you get five games, and you get all whatever system you want to plug them in on.
Okay.
I don't know where you're getting power on this desert island, but just bear with me. You've got the TV set up. Everything is perfect. You get five.
Okay. Am I listing them now?
If you want to.
Borderlands 2, BioShock. And it's going to get, you're going to lose some respect for me here. I'm going to put Mercenaries on there. I loved that game. I spent hours and hours and hours. I'm going to put the Godfather video game on there. I cranked on that thing forever. Loved that game. I like sandbox games, as you can tell clearly with this. And then I think I'm going to put the original Assassin's Creed, the very first one on there. It made a big impact for me. I bought two. Loved that, and then I went away from it when they started going to the naval combat, and I just got back with Odyssey, which I am in love with. That's really climbing up the it's the first game where I've actually learned something playing it. It's very weird to have that experience.
That's cool.
Yeah, so right now, just like sitting here shooting from the hip, that's probably where I would land. What about you? Give me yours.
So I love yours. Two things I love. One, where you go, what am I listing them now? I'm doing that. That's what you want, idiot? That was my favorite part of that. The second is Assassin's Creed, I love so much.
Yeah.
And again, critics and whoever else were like, it's so repetitive. Well, the things you're repeating kick ass.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Like, I'm climbing up a building and I'm jumping down, you know, 700 feet and I'm stabbing a dude with wrist knives right in the back of the neck. Sign me right the bleep up for that.
Okay. Tremendous.
So for me, original Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
Final Fantasy VII, the RPG that changed the universe. The Last of Us.
It's a great game.
This is where it gets harder. I could include BioShock. I'm tempted to include BioShock. I think it may be just outside of my five. I'm gonna say, because I have a lot of old school in me. I'm gonna say Metroid, and I know
get out of here.
I know it's hot. I know it's a hot take. Metroid, and I'm gonna say.
Have you played it recently, Danny?
Yes, on my classic NES.
I go back and play these games that I was in love with, and they stink. They stink on ice. They were great for the time, and they got me where I needed to be. But, yeah, that's why you got to be – you know, what about arcade games? Because I got to say, arcade games probably more impactful to me in my yesteryears than home console because it was a destination. Mm-hmm. You waited all week to go play those things, and you only 100%. Had a couple hours.
Tyson's Corner at the mall, at where the movie theater was, and you always got lost somehow in the mall on your way to the movie theater, but you got there, you had your roll of quarters, you put the quarter down when someone was playing Street Fighter. That's a big deal. So I could put combat games there. I think, honestly, because I mean, you know me, I'm such a loser. I would honestly say Elder Scrolls Skyrim makes my five.
Yeah, as, I mean, as an especially RPG how much time you in, game, I remember yeah. how much time you invested in that game.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That's not a bad list. I think that it would be too difficult for me to go back. And then there's also, I hate to say this, there's a couple of mobile games that I am positive I've put enough time into where it dwarfs anything that I've had on the console. And I don't even particularly really? Care for it. Yeah, I'm playing. Oh, God. So I'm playing this Marvel Strike Force game now. And I am so angry at myself because I should be doing something to help anyone, right? Like my relationship, walk the dog, anything on earth would be better than what I do. Cranking it, trying to level up Taskmaster so I can get more orbs to open. Danny, I don't know what it is they put in those things, but it's like when you try to quit soda. Like, it's that yearning that you feel when you're away. It's the same addictive quality. It drives me insane.
Your mouth makes the taste.
Yes.
Like, if you're a soda person, and I quit in 2007.
I'm so jealous of you.
Well, but I'm jealous of you. You get the taste. I don't get the taste. What is it, 2020? 13 years later. Any meal that I have, people are going, really? Any meal? Any food that touches my fat face and goes into my mouth, my little taste buds will recreate the aftertaste or the little hint of Coca-Cola Classic.
Right.
Remember when you used to have this? Remember when you'd wash it down with a root beer or, what's in this, Sprite? I'm going to have a sip of your tasty beverage to wash this down. I will still Leonard Hankerson, for a soda 13 years later.
It's weird, too, because mine, I wouldn't put it the way you did, but what it does to me is I will be eating something and immediately crave, it has to be a diet soda, like a club soda, a beer. I can't drink beer with food or wine. People have that. Or milk. Even a milkshake. People go and get a burger and a milkshake. Can't do it because whatever you're talking about, it is the need is created for that particular diet soda. I have to say this. Mm-hmm. I wish you would break your fast. The Coke Zero Cherry Vanilla, we have reached the pinnacle of diet soda technology with this beverage. It is the supreme. You got it. I don't want you to try it. It's like begging you to smoke a Lucky Strike if you quit cigarettes 20 years ago.
Now, here's the thing. I know you have to inject it in your arm, but this heroin is really good. It's the stuff that John Travolta had in Pulp Fiction.
You feel really good when you're on this. You'll drive your car into your friend's house. What were you talking about? Oh. I got to say this, too. I don't have them in the house, but I have them in the Big O and Duke studio. This arcade one-up company, Danny, is incredible. Mm-hmm. The fact that I don't know for how many years I spent toying with the idea of buying an arcade cabinet. Not one of these, I don't know, emulators where you have 700 of the same and the graphics on the side aren't right and the sticks are kind of universal. I'm talking about like buying an NFL Blitz machine or buying an NBA Jam machine. And they have figured out a way to recreate that experience and also make them affordable. So for a couple of grand, basically, you can outfit your entire basement in arcade games. I don't know how many people listening to this are looking for that, but if you are, it's a great company. I have about five or six of these machines now. They work really well. I think kids would just fall in love with. You know, maybe they wouldn't, Danny. Like, maybe kids would be like, well, I got 35 games on my PlayStation right now. What's so special about this thing? Like, I wonder if it hits them the same way it hit us.
I would say that there's no way because, if you imagine if you are, 15 years old now, 20 years old now, and you get people our age, 40-year-olds, going, you have to check out this Star Wars. You've got to watch this thing. You won't believe it. they'd believe it. Because everything now, in terms of graphics and what we can do in terms of visuals, didn't exist before 1977, before George Lucas was like, I trust my process. I'll take the merchandising rights. He knew, and that changed the universe. There's no way they can have that same nostalgia for the new thing, right? Because what's new now? Like, my six-year-old picked up an iPod the other day, and he goes, what the hell is this? For us, that was the most novel thing in the world.
Yeah.
The 200-disc changer that took up, that weighed 60 pounds and took up all sorts of space on your wall of sound that you had to hook in, all these different things, and the dumb speaker wire, you had to thread the needle. It turned onto this little machine, and that was more efficient. And that was a unbelievable novelty. Now he's like just swiping on YouTube videos at this point. Just a different planet.
Well, they don't even watch programs the same way, right? Because it's what you... And I found myself, I call myself a Joe Rogan fan. Like, I enjoy his works. I have never listened to a full episode of Joe Rogan's podcast. I don't even know. I assume I go to iTunes. I don't know if he has a website. Because he's got a YouTube channel, I'm like, oh, he's interviewing this guy. I know who that is. Or, oh, he's talking about this. And then I watch the 11 minutes, and I'm like, oh, that was good. And then I go about my day. If people treated my podcast like that or my radio show, I'd be like, oh, that kind of stinks. I wish they'd hear the whole thing. It's something that I don't think is age exclusive.
Right.
But the two things, Danny, that I feel bad for kids about, man, and I say this all the time, it comes cliche, but the anticipation and also of the going to the video store on Friday nights, A, because you want to get the movie or the game, but also, Danny, it was a crapshoot. Somebody may have already had the thing. So it was like almost like a gambling high every time you did it. The kids will never know that anticipation because the movie's just going to be on their television a week after it comes out.
Instantaneously. You patrol the aisles. You do laps like a shark circling chum. You couldn't decide, and that part of the process. And then you'd come to your parents with I've got these six movies. And they're like, you can only pick one, and you and your brother, or me and my sister. Oh my God, that feeling of going to Errol's or Hollywood Video.
Yeah,
they'll never understand that. And it's the same thing, honestly, with seeing naked people. Remember how hard it was?
Very difficult.
Homer wrote about it in the damn Odyssey. That's what it was. You had to go to islands and defeat a cyclops and have somebody who had an older brother that had stolen it from someone, a senior, when he was a freshman, and it was like a swank from 1988. That was the only thing you could ever have. I would look forward to the Sears catalog coming just so I could see a brassiere on a human being. Now, two clicks. One search term and two clicks, and you are there. It's a different planet.
It is, and it's funny because with the going back to what you were saying about going to Errol's or whatever, I remember for about 2 months straight, I would rent Aliens and I would rent Bulls versus Blazers, and it's because I knew both of those things. I knew I loved that game, and I knew I loved that movie, and I remember my mom asking me, why do you always – I was like, well, I can't chance it. What if I pick a movie or a game that stinks, and I have six more days until I can get another crack at this thing? I remember feeling that level of panic. This has to pay off because this time is so special here at the video store.
I took a risk one time, and I got Total Recall, and I loved it. And I got Total Recall 11 times.
Of course. I got the Guyver one time. I was like, oh, God, what am I going to do now? I just watched the Guyver. I can't.
Because
you had to watch the movie. I remember getting New Jack City. I don't even remember how because I wasn't allowed to write the R-rated movies. Uh-huh. But I watched New Jack City 5 times in a day. It's because you rewind it and watch it again because you knew you had to get every last ounce of goodness out of that videotape.
How did the Guyver end? I'm trying to remember because the bad guys was more powerful than Mark Hamill's.
Yes.
Wasn't it or something? How did it end?
I don't remember. I just remember being very disappointed in it because Luke Skywalker's in this and he's fighting aliens. This is going to be incredible. And then it most sincerely was not.
Yeah, I was crushed.
Just before we move on from this, sports games. By the way, is it weird to you, and maybe this bridge has been built a little bit more than it has a few years back, but I remember when we were doing the video game show, and it was sports gamers and nerd gamers do not mix. Were completely different phylums. People played Madden, and they played 2K, and then they didn't play BioShock and Final Fantasy. Do you think there's more bleed over there, and why do you think it's so stratified? I would assume most people that are willing to pick up sticks and play a sports simulator would then breach out and grab a shooter or something else.
So it's the fraternity dude bro that has the Xbox, and as far as they'll go is Call of Duty and Madden. Right? That's it.
Those are the two.
Occasionally you'll get someone who'll dip in NHL or whatever it is. So I remember all of my teammates, they weren't really gamers like I was. Like, I'm sitting there alone in the dark, shout out Nickelodeon, just grinding hours into my Final Fantasy characters. Because what if I didn't have all the limit breaks for Cloud? What if I didn't have that? I couldn't live with myself. They didn't care about that. They're playing NCAA, too. They would do that, Madden, and, you know, and shoot each other. At that point, it was Medal of Honor, but it was, you know, eventually it's going to be Call of Duty. So I think anything else is just, oh, you're a dork, you're a nerd. And it got to the point where it used to be if you played video games at all, you were a nerdy dork.
Yeah.
Then it moved, the line moved a little bit when they made games that were acceptable to kind of the masses in that way, right? But it's still, if you went beyond that, if you're playing an RPG, a sandbox game, anything that, you know, that you and I would dig, that was a bridge too far for kind of the dude bros. And so I think there's more mixing now than there's ever been, but I still think there's that line of delineation.
Well, the problem is that, and I consider myself a fan of all these things. Like, I read comic books and hit it. Like, I was a professional wrestling fan. I had to hide that just because that was something you were ashamed of. Now that we've won and everyone's won,
yes,
everyone is angry and triggered and vindictive and shaming. And I'm worried that our interests are okay, but all of that nerd hurt is now manifesting itself in what all these mobs are online that are pissed off about everything because there is no more, hey, if you're going to be into this stuff, keep it to yourself. I don't know if it had a negative ramification that maybe we could have not foreseen.
It's a good, yeah. I hadn't even thought of that, but yeah. I think there's something to that. Give me your, this is, so if you forget something, no big deal.
Sure.
So putting you on the spot here, and I'll throw you mine. Best sports games ever.
Yeah, a lot of them are going to be like the arcade. I love that there was a game called NFL Street, and it was a derivative of NFL Blitz.
Is it like Blitz? Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like this arcade. You could run up the wall, and everybody was wearing crazy uniforms. And I love those arcadey sports games that aren't just a straightforward simulation. NHLPA hockey is – I played that thing for years. It was do you remember that? It was before – they had the players' names, but they didn't have the NHL signed. So I played that a lot. Tecmo Bowl, of course, is almost cliche at this point, but people are shocked when they see the Tecmo Bowl arcade game. It's this monster cabinet with like eight sticks, completely different than the one we all fell in love with on the NES. But I probably, you know, NBA Jam, I would go down the Blades of Steel, another one I just remember turning and burning on nonstop.
Mech the Pulse.
and the more they've turned into actual simulations where you feel like, you know, I'm Sean McVay, for some reason, the less interested I have become.
Because they're not games anymore.
This
it's now simulations, right? And that's cool, but like, it's not fun to not be able to run the ball. You know what I mean? It's not fun to go for a yard and a half when you're running some sort of weird play. It used to be fun when you could do punt rush as a defense on second down.
Love that.
You know what I mean? That sort of stuff is fun, and it's gamey, and it's gimmicky. So I'm with you. So I didn't play this, but people always tell me how great Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
I watched a lot of my friends play that.
Did you?
I never got into it, though.
It's just because I didn't skate. I did a little bit, but not to the point that I ever want to play a game. But apparently that was a wild success, and they're doing a remake of that for new systems. So I would throw NHL 94, the year of the one-timer, as my number one of all time. Right. So you could not only do the move where you would wrap around the goal and do the slap shot, the goalie would go down and you could score every time. The one timer, the first year, they took away fighting, which sucked, but you had the year of the one timer. I thought that was a huge deal. Give me one of the, whether it's Tecmo Super Bowl, original Tecmo Bowl, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
I think the mid 2000 Madden. So
yeah,
like 04, 05, really, really fun. Punch Out should be mentioned, obviously.
Tyson's
That's a big
punch
deal.
Out, though.
Tyson's punch out, yeah. Before the legal stuff.
Before the what have you?
Yeah, before the yeah. Baseball wise, give me Baseball Stars with RPG elements from '89.
Okay.
Now the game would reset itself all the time, and you'd lose your data, which just sucked on the old NES. But Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball on that on the what was it? Was it on Super Nintendo? Or was
that sounds right,
because
I remember the cover very vividly.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. MVP baseball was excellent in those regards. Just jumped in my head. And NBA Jam, too, you touched on.
Would you count a wrestling game? Because there is one called WCW NWO Revenge is my favorite wrestling game of all time and one of my favorite games of all time. Infinitely replayable. It had the weapons, and you could bloody guys, and it was for the Nintendo 64. That, to me, because that was when I was a kid, you know, playing 8-bit, and then even Super Nintendo – you're kind of an adult. The games are getting way better. You incorporate that little joystick there in the center. Mm-hmm. I think that was probably my prime gaming, because now it's just movies. You know what I mean? Now it's movies or TV, yes, or anything else that's been in my life for so long, but it was still new and the technology was still every couple of years. I mean, think about the jump between those first three Nintendos and now what we're expecting with this next generation of PlayStation and Xbox. Because everything's kind of slightly better and you have more memory. The jump between those systems, it was just such an exciting time to be experiencing that.
Oh, without a doubt. And you think about how long it used. I don't know if it took longer then and we just didn't know about it, or if it took the same amount of time. But now, games are developed for half a decade or more. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that process is so involved because everything's got to be rendered and every, you know, element. You got to hire the voice actors. And so for the my new podcast project that I'm doing, shameless self-promotion, called You Seem Interesting, right? You go to patreon.com/funnydanny and give me some money. But I'm interviewing a guy next week, and I can't wait to do it. His name is Sonny Sidhu, and you wouldn't know that name, and most people shouldn't. But he was at Insomniac Games for years and did development on stuff like Ratchet and Clank, Sunset Overdrive, which was a kick-ass game, by the way, that not that many people play, but it was really, really good. And he developed a little thing called Spider-Man. You know, the one recently, Spider-Man, that kicked all sorts of ass, game of the year type stuff.
Tremendous, tremendous game.
Like an outstanding game. And then he's left, and now he's on sort of the forefront of doing stuff for like VR, esports, you know, different things, sort of where gaming is going. And so, like, doing our pre-interview type stuff, going back and forth with him, he was telling me, like, just stuff you wouldn't believe. You're working for years on stuff, and he left the company. 3 years later, Spider-Man finally comes out. Like, he's rendering stuff, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in advance for something that's going to come out. So it's like, when you go, yeah, the graphics on this are X or whatever it is, you're supposed to anticipate where something's going to be able to go in terms of a system and how powerful it is. That's why there's always that dumb lag when a new system comes out.
Yeah.
There's no games for a year.
Because they got to get up on it. You know, it's funny you bring up that Spider-Man game, Danny. The Spider-Man game is, for me, a big deal because it switched me from an Xbox guy from the original big black box to PlayStation. I'm now exclusively play PlayStation, and I tried with the PS2. I tried with the PS3. It never really clicked for me. I bought that Spider-Man game looked so good in that preview footage. I think we talked about it.
We
and
did.
Then they came out with that big white spider logo on the side of the red PlayStation, and I said, screw it, I'm gonna learn how this thing works finally, and I got it, and now it's all I play. It's a really crazy thing that was
Sony
the game kind of drew me to the dark side, as they say.
Indeed. I've always been someone that doesn't want to talk to anybody, and I've been very antisocial. So PlayStation was right up my alley. And if as a corollary, if it means giant eyes and tentacles and, you know, weird RPGs, you know, where like characters like that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's fine. I'll deal with that.
A lot of giant eyeballs and giggling. And it's
huge eyeballs.
Drives me nuts.
Let's do our best.
I still haven't asked you about this Dion thing. I wrote this down yesterday. I wanted to run it past you.
Let's do it. I've derailed us.
No, it's fine. You're not stealing anything out of the prize closet. All right, let's go ahead and do this. It's 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We'd love to take some calls. If you'd like to chime in, we'll be here until 3 o'clock. That is Danny. I'm Dukes. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. As Danny, I'm Dukes. We're both going to be on the air again tomorrow. That old
it
thing.
It sucks when you put it that way.
Yeah. Have you been doing the Sunday shifts mostly?
Yeah, I've only done Sundays. Basically, this 12 to 3 slot has kind of been my home. I did one morning bit, but I've worked with Pete Medhurst, Cakes a few times, Grant once, which was, for some reason, weird. Just because it was on the weekend, it was in the morning, and now my first time with you. I've been passed around. I got loose morals, man. I'm like the town floozy.
Yeah, you're a woman of ill repute, as far as this radio station goes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done mostly Saturdays, which is kind of nice because, look, it's 3 hours. It's not the end of the world. I think it's fine. It's actually fun doing the show with you and with EB and Cakes and stuff like that. But, like, you can't really commit to anything, you know? Like, you can't say, well, I'm going to do this because you have this island in the stream, Kenny and Dolly style, in the middle of the weekend. But Sunday is way worse because you go Saturday, it's like, oh, well, I've got to do this thing. So for me, I can't get nearly as drunk as I would like to on Saturday night because I've got to be able to pull it together on Sunday. So mazel tov to you, Danny. If this is your shift, I much prefer the Saturday go around.
Well, I got to also offer it while we're tipping caps here. It's something that I'm amazed that you're able to do. As we're the same age. I think you're like a few months my senior, but we're basically the same. Put on this planet in 1979. I don't know how you can bounce back from having the alcohol. I don't know how you do it. I don't say I've quit drinking. I mean, I'm not, you know, some sort of tough guy or anything. I have a little bit of booze. I'm hungover for 5 days.
Oh.
I feel terrible. I cannot bounce back anymore. And you're the opposite of that. I mean, I would love to be able to imbibe on a Saturday knowing I've got the idea that I had a noon show today. Noon. I'm not talking about morning, 9 o'clock. If I'd had a couple beers last night, like on the porch, we went and visited some friends. We did the social distancing. The room. We went and hung out, and they're like having a couple beers. I would have loved to have had a couple beers last night, but I'm going, I can't. I have to be on the radio in 13 hours. It's unbelievable that I can't, and it's seamless for you.
I drank enough whiskey last night for either an army of country music singers or the actual army. Like, it was my wife's birthday is on Monday, so we celebrated last night. And I got this bottle, Danny, of Whistle Pig, and it's called the Boss Hog. And they only make a certain amount of these per year. It was roughly a $600 bottle. And I got a nice deal on it because I know a guy that works at Whistle Pig. He's very nice. But it was still substantially expensive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they take this rye whiskey and they finish it in this rice wine barrels. So it starts like rye and it ends like kind of almost sweet, like you were drinking some sort of sake or something like that. Incredibly complex. And we started with that. And then I was like, well, you know, let's not kill this bottle off in one day because it's, you know, for special occasions. I then switched over and I believe consumed an entire liter of Eagle Rare by myself. We were sitting out.
Holy crap.
Well, the problem is when you're sitting by a fire, I don't know how often you sit by a fire, Danny. But
not often enough.
It's just, if you have whatever the brown liquor is there, it's going to be consumed. One just lends itself to the other. So I got up today around 8:30 and I was hurting. Then I had an acre of diarrhea and I had a little breakfast and I come downstairs and I'm like, all right, I'm ready to hang out with my buddy.
I'm ready to hang out
with my friend.
Amazing. I mean, it's incredible to me. And it's hard to make sure that I'm this is a compliment. Okay. It's hard to make sure you do that.
It sounds like you're saying I'm an alcoholic. Is what it sounds like.
Exactly. And that's the implication is that, you know, that Chad, like, I don't mean that at all. I'm amazed by it that at you know, cause we're very similar in terms of like age and things that we've gone through. Like, I drank plenty for so many times over, and it got to the point where my hangovers were so crippling and terrible that I'm like, that's it. It's twice a year now. It's at the Junkie Summer Dress Party and then at a Christmas party that I have with a couple of my old pals. That's all I do.
That is crazy to me. I mean, what do you do for – I mean, the problem is that it's just everything becomes fun if you're drinking. Like, you could be sitting around staring at a wall, but if you have hooch, like, you're going to have a decent time.
I know.
And there's so many other things. Like, what do you do – when, like, the kids are asleep? Like, you don't want to have a cocktail? You don't want to open something up at that point?
Well, the wife and I will have, like, a beer. Or, you know, like, I had this is just how weird this time is. But with, like, we started doing the Zoom calls with me and some of my pals, you know, around the country. Like, normally we wouldn't talk at all, and it would be okay. But for some reason, we just need human interaction so bad that we're doing these Zoom conferences. So, like, I'll have a glass of scotch with those guys, you know, sort of doing that. But drinking... actively drinking, I just can barely do it anymore.
I just don't even know what to say to that. I wish anyone would believe me. I say this to my wife all the time. I know I'm not an alcoholic. I've never once gotten up in the morning and needed a drink. I've never missed a day of work because I'm hungover. Mm-hmm. And I know there's different ways to be an alcoholic. I just got to tell you, I love drinking so much. It's so much fun, and I enjoy the taste. I like the ritual of it. That's why I don't understand potheads. Like potheads that sit in their house and they smoke and watch movies and giggle. It's so social. I feel more at ease with myself and my surroundings. There's something romantic about it. You try to speak that way to people, and they're like, well, you really have a problem.
that sounds great. You know, again, we already mentioned heroin once in the show, but I've heard that same speech, insert your substance here, right? Where it's like, you don't understand. It's so fun. It's so social. No, but I do get it. I mean, there is something, and you go, I'm sure that's a phrase. Go to every movie that's ever been made where there's like a hero. If there's a tough guy in a movie, like that guy pours liquor, drinks it straight, and doesn't even wince, doesn't make a single acknowledgement that, you know what, it's actually slightly bitter, and I just drank a huge amount of it, and I don't even react to it at all. I sip on my alcoholic beverages like a normal human being,
right.
And you still kind of have that, hey, that's pretty powerful, that's tart or whatever. But it's like there is something romantic to it.
Well, it's always fun when, like, you know, Bruce Willis walks into like a bar, and he goes up to the bartender and he'll whiskey leave the bottle, and he shoots like two or three shots down. Like, well, that would be it for me. Like, I'd be on the floor. That's what happens. Right. I'm rewatching Dexter, and there's like this woman attorney, and then there's the chief at LaGuardia. She's the chief of the police, right? And they sit down and they're gonna have a drink, and they pull out a bottle of scotch and then proceed to both just hammer room temperature scotch. And I'm like, I don't want to be rude. I don't want it to be perceived as sexist. I have never in my life seen women drink that way. But in movies, that's what it always is. It's everyone just drinking room temperature brown liquor. And I'm like, it's like Chinese food. You only see people eating Chinese food if they're a police officer in a movie. I don't know when that started, but it's like this trope that just seems to exist in all entertainment.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's double click on the Chinese food thing by cops. That's a thing?
Of course it's a thing. Any cop show, anytime it's a stakeout, anytime they're in the office, anytime they're watching a video, go watch Hannibal. The cops are dubbing off a tape for Clarice, sitting there eating. And they're in Italy, sitting there eating Chinese food. It's just, it's omnipresent throughout every television, movies, everywhere. If you Google it, I think the reason why is because you can hide the food better than you can other foods, because it's in those cartons. You have the chopsticks. My other huge gripe with entertainment is, why not put coffee in the mugs and the coffee cups that are clearly empty in all of these television shows? They're clearly empty cups that have no weight to them. Nothing ever spills. Like, just add that realism, and the person will act like they have coffee in their cup because they do.
Yeah, you don't have to give them something else to worry about in terms of acting. Like, now make sure that it feels like there's more weight to it than there actually is while you're trying to go through your process. That's a good one. This fine feast represents the last of our petty cash. That's what that reminded me of.
Chew your food. Well, what are they eating? What are they eating in that scene?
Chinese food. Unbelievable.
If I'm not mistaken, what I also love about Ghostbusters, if you go back and look at it, I don't think you ever see them drink beer, but there are constantly Bud Heavy cans everywhere in that movie. Like, they're just sitting around inside of the firehouse, just pounding Bud Heavies at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Waiting for the call. You do? You have?
You have? By the
way, sorry about the Bug Eyes thing.
Have you seen her in commercials recently? She looks exactly the same.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
What's she in?
I don't know. She's in some commercial where she's answering the phone. She's clearly playing Janine. But, I mean, I love Dan Aykroyd, but, you know, Dan Aykroyd looks terrible, you know?
Yeah.
All these guys look like they're a million years old. She looks like Janine Mueller from My Staff. And then Moranis, I guess, is back in for Ghost. Wait a minute. Maybe I read that wrong. No, he's back in for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 3. But he's not back in for whatever this new Ghostbusters Stranger Things movie is. I think that's correct.
Cool. Like, I'm glad that's what he chose. Like, it's basically like the guy in Last Crusade where he chose poorly. Like, yeah. Thank you for doing that. But I don't know necessarily that it would it, because you always, I'm not saying anything here, so bear with me. But we talked about this earlier when it comes to albums and stuff. It's like, do you bring the whole gang back together to make sure that everybody's got a part, and do you force it in, or do you say it's okay to get some of the guys back? We need to introduce kind of a new thing. I'd rather see Moranis than not.
Yeah, I would too. I just wish everything wasn't. Here's the biggest problem I have right now with entertainment, especially when it comes to horror and sci-fi, is that Stranger Things is popular because it references lots of other things from pop culture. It references things we already love, right? Karate Kid, yep. Ghostbusters, all these different things.
Terminator, all that stuff.
By the way, also, it's just like Goonies. I mean, that's why we love it, is that it references these things that we love. Now, the things that we love think they have to be Stranger Things. So when you get an It movie, it's Stranger Things. When you get a Ghostbusters movie, it's Stranger Things. It's the same kids. They cast them in the same roles. It's so unbelievably uncreative. The trailers all look the same. The soundtrack sounds the same. There's like, it's this weird snake eating its tail. And I get it. Like the first season of that show, I loved. I thought it was tremendous. But then I kind of figured out what it was. And now I'm like, Ghostbusters needs to look exactly like Stranger Things, when the big hook for season two of Stranger Things was that they're wearing Ghostbusters uniforms. It's an unbelievable thing that's unfolding in front of us.
It's a good point. Now I'm a sucker for that, right? Because we've talked about this before. If you make me feel like I'm between 9 and 13 again, I'll pay you for it. I can't wait.
Sure.
Here's a blank check. You write down the amount, and that's fine. It's like the ultimate time of joy before responsibility, before women and children can afford to be careless, but men cannot. Like, go back to then. Give me that time. That's all I want. And Stranger Things does that. And I'm a sucker for it. I'm a complete rube and a boob, and I know what's happening, but I'm still all in about it, right? In the most recent season, there's a blonde guy that's nothing but muscles, wears sunglasses inside, and walks around very rigidly. That's a Terminator reference. I get it. You're smacking me in the face with a frying pan, and I'm welcoming it. I love it so much. But when something's successful, and again, we've also gotten in this argument before, when something's successful that you don't like, okay? So bear with me on this. So I like Stranger Things, so I can kind of deal with that being the tent pole that everybody sort of rushes towards. But if something else is successful that I don't like, I root for it to fail, not because I don't want other people to enjoy it, but because it means I get more of it. Right, because it's all the insects to that beacon there. So now, because Call of Duty's good, I'm gonna have 77 games like Call of Duty. Now, because keeping up with the dumb Kardashians
Fortnite.
The stupid reality show chick that they throw wine in each other's face, we're gonna get 77 of those. I don't want things that suck to be successful because it means we get more of it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't like. There's also this, Danny, and unfortunately this happened between you and I with Game of Thrones. I root for things to fail now because I'm tired of hearing about them. Like, I'll jump on Twitter.
I couldn't wait for that
Last Dance thing. It was, perfectly fine, but I couldn't wait for it to be over because I'm just watching guys like just measure their private areas, trying to compare, sword dancing, Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn back and forth on who is more excited for Michael Jordan. I'm like, oh my God, the group thing that's going on here. I'd like to not be plagued by that, but when something is that, being discussed by everybody, and Game of Thrones to me was the pinnacle of it. We got a full season of nothing but that conversation.
I know that.
I just root for it to be over.
Yeah, I get that. I get how insufferable I was and am. I get it. Like, I can't help it. Like you just, because it's like, about the subject, right? Like, you just, I'm a resource because I read the books and here's what's different. And like, everyone's talking to me and the attention was so great. I get it. And I basically became the monster from Stranger Things season 3. Like, the amalgam of all the rats and all the people that are like folding into this giant tentacle monster that's stabbing people and controlling the handsome guy named Dacre Montgomery, who's also in Power Rangers, which is an underrated flick. Go ahead and say that. So there you go. Got weird. But you see my point. I know what happened. When something is a phenomenon that you're out on, I don't know if there's anything more annoying on the planet.
Yeah. And it sucks because I'm out on a lot of phenomenon, so I think it's at least a torment of my own right. Vic, what are we doing here? Do we have to break, or are we still going? What are we doing?
Yeah, you can keep going to 54.
Oh, excellent. So we have one commercial break an hour? Is that the way it works?
Essentially.
Jesus Christ. All right, the phone number is 800-636-1067. I wanted to bounce this off you, Danny. You ready?
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I can't even. We got to. There's no care given. Like, I mean, for
that popped me. I'm sorry.
Like, who's? Can we get a? I don't know.
Listen, do the Deion Sanders thing. I derailed you for. I basically derailed you for an hour and 46 minutes. Hampton you for 2 hours.
It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. Vic, are you now? I'm not saying this to insult you. Are you a producer or are you just running the board for this show?
I'm listening to the conversation and intrigued by it. But
no. I mean, as far as content, like if Danny and I were doing a 3-hour show and we had two guests, I think it'd be tremendous. Do I go to you to that or do I go to like Brock Lesnar for that?
I don't know how this stuff works. Generally, Brock and I communicate with we've had no luck with guests.
Here's what happens for my guys, Danny, is that the weekend rolls around and they're like, well, that fat ass can take care of it. And then they just turn their phones off. And I was like, could you have an ounce of care for the fact that we're doing, like, I don't need to be my ass kissed or being told this is great.
The guests that we booked for today, we're trying to book for today, are actually available for tomorrow.
What?
So that's
that
how
it doesn't help me.
I know, but hey, at least we got tomorrow covered.
I'm crying laughing. Oh, I'm having so much fun.
I can play the Stroke is No Joke commercial if you want.
We can fill endless hours. I'm just saying that it's 3 months of this and we've never had the conversation about who's responsible for what
we're doing.
Nobody knows.
There was a hand waved in the general direction to say, do shows, and that
do
was
it.
The end.
Take care of it. Here's no resources. Here's no help. Here's no support. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yes.
Deion Sanders. What is your opinion of Deion Sanders?
One of the, if not, well, I would say a top five football player of my lifetime.
Okay.
An incredible, unbelievable athlete, superstar cornerback. Amazing. What a weapon. What an impact. What a player. There's the end of that part.
Yeah.
Jackass is the next part. His post-football career, I have not cared for one iota. So that's kind of where I am. I recognize that this is one of the best players I've ever seen. That guy, without basically throwing making a tackle, could dominate a game in a way that few defenders have. He's up there with Lawrence Taylor for me in terms of his impact on a football game as
Agreed.
A defender. I really mean that. Post-football career, I pretty much haven't liked anything that he's done.
I have never once been informed or entertained by anything Deion Sanders has done since he has played football. I think that Deion Sanders believes and has somehow convinced the rest of us that he is the Charles Barkley of football broadcasting, when he is not. Charles Barkley is he's a unicorn as far as the way that he goes about his broadcasting career. And Teflon. Charles Barkley says things that if anyone else said them, they probably would be fired and drubbed out of the business. Deion Sanders has never said anything insightful on television about football or anything else, in my opinion. Most people disagree with me, but there it is. He said this, I guess, on social media. And I want you to guess who this is about, all right? Mm-hmm. My son came to town to work on his game, on his life, on his thoughts. I can't wait to witness the comeback story called A, B, and C. I know what I know, and I pray that's what we're going to see. Who do you think he said that about?
That's Antonio Brown, my friend.
It's Antonio Brown. So I am all for getting second chances. I'm even for third chances. I find it incredibly wasteful for someone as influential as Deion Sanders, who could be championing anybody, to sit here and we're wasting another moment discussing this cretin who has danced this dance so many times where he has apologized and said, we're all good now, and then the crazy grainy video of his kid getting hauled off in the front of his house or some crazy allegations getting screamed at on social media or making up some bit about a helmet so you don't have to play to running into your backyard screaming, thank you, Jesus, I've been released by this team that just gave me all this money. I the fact that we're going to sit here and Antonio Brown is going to be the comeback cause that anybody, especially somebody that is as influential as Deion Sanders is, champions, I just can't think of any bigger waste of time right now.
And so I get it. I mean, because the way that it looks, right, where I'm Deion Sanders, my beard is gray now, I'm the mentor, I'm the Sherpa, the rabbi, I'm the guy that you go to, the oracle, to get yourself back together. And it's very empowering. It probably makes me feel very, very good that I will demonstrate my wisdom and worth and take this lost cause and he'll come back into the league and then I'll get a lot of credit for it. I'll be shown and this will be my sort of new role as, the mentor. And again, none of this changes how great a football player he was.
Not at all.
But I would say that I'm with you in that it just seems silly and it seems very self-important and it seems very back patty and it's shooting the virtue rocket up into the air to let everybody know that I'm doing this, right? Like, if it was going to happen, it should be very quiet. You know, we should find out about it later, but it's, attention, universe, I'm Deion Sanders, and I'm working with this person.
That's exactly what it is. Because what about saying that helps him get back to the league? And here's another thing, Danny, is that if the Vikings, whoever it is you think wants to sign Antonio Brown, and I would stipulate probably nobody wants to sign Antonio Brown, he's got three investigations going on right now, including the sexual assault civil lawsuit. Again, I'm a due process guy. I think you should be able to earn a living if somebody wants to hire you. But before he can even step on the field, the commissioner goes through all that. There's no chance there isn't a lengthy suspension for whenever this takes place. And let's take a look at his age, and let's take a look at the position he plays. Antonio Brown's not playing football again. I don't know why there's any debate about this. And I just think it's use that power for a player that could really use it. You know, use that power for a guy that got cut or someone didn't look at his film or a coach. You know, we're all worried about who gets hired as far as coaches go and who gets opportunities. Let's champion those guys. Somebody that hasn't taken opportunity and spit in the face of everybody that's given them that opportunity time and time and time again. That's what I would like to see him do.
And with Antonio Brown, you're right. There are pending investigations that I think will pick up if and when he asks for reinstatement, including some pretty serious ones. Again, the pattern of behavior isn't good, and I'm not going to make an armchair mental health judgment from, you know, the comforts of my laundry room here while I'm talking to my pal Chad on a Sunday. I have no idea. I haven't examined anybody. I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist. I don't know anything. I just know that his behavior is erratic at best, troubling at worst. So anybody that's going to dip their toe in those waters, there's a lot of baggage that comes with it. And you start talking about, as you said, what's happened with these last couple of teams. If culturally you can't get right in New England, with the strongest culture in sports, where are you going to get right?
Well, it's Tomlin, it's Gruden, and it's Belichick. Those are the people. And if you're going to make a short list of people in football, if you've pissed off all three of those and they want nothing to do with you, well, that really is all I need to know, especially with the way Gruden goes about his business. He's crazy. He's a gunslinger. He'll do anything and anything that crosses his mind because he's got the security of, you know, the next 8 years of that contract or whatever it is. I mean, think about Tomlin. We were talking about the Redskins trading for Tomlin because he was persona non grata. How much better does he look as a head coach now for getting those seasons out of Antonio Brown? It's unbelievable.
And that's the spin on it, right? Is the initially you're kind of going, well, Pittsburgh, is Tomlin overrated? I mean, that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers fans think, by the way. He's not that great. And, you know, they're tired of not winning Super Bowls like it's a birthright or whatever it is. And I'm going, do you recognize the chaos that was happening there? Ben Roethlisberger's, you know, showing his hoga boom to anybody that doesn't want it in various cities across America, getting hammered riding motorcycles. You got Antonio Brown videotaping himself in the locker room. This is chaos, and they're winning 10, 11 games a year? Give Mike Tomlin medallions.
Yeah, he needed a statue in front of that stadium. By the way, we touched on this when you came on the show. Name me a more unlikable player in the NFL than Ben Roethlisberger.
Hard to. He's. I mean, he's Dikembe Mutombo on Twitter. Blocks every human being with an account. Gets in motorcycle accidents. Like just the vague cloud of sexual assault just sort of hangs over him, and nothing's proven. Again, I'm a due process guy, just like you. I want all the facts to come out. I still don't know what all the facts are. None of my business. Whatever. And then you add in, you know, some of the rest of it. Teammates under the bus at times. Yeah, that's not a terribly likable guy.
No, I do not like anything about that dude. And it's so funny because Eli gets it way worse than Roethlisberger does. Mm-hmm. And it's simply because Eli's face is so stupid.
The face.
And his body language is so bad. It's like, that's what we're mad at Eli about?
Yeah,
It's not fair, but I feel that way too. Although the story had popped up again where he went into Cowboys Stadium and the Giants did the Cowboys, the very first game in Cowboys Stadium, and he autographed the stall of the bathroom or whatever it is.
That always
lets me give Eli Manning a pass in some way, shape, or form.
I know. It's as much as I found him so irritating, and like somebody whizzed in his Cheerios face that he made when he was drafted by the Chargers. I'll never get over that, honestly. It was worse than the face that Steve Francis made when he was drafted by the Vancouver Grizzlies. Right? Francis didn't want to go to Vancouver. I can understand that. You don't want to go to San Diego? You fraud at that point? Because he was like, and then every time there's an incomplete pass, it's like, you guys, you ran the wrong route. Oh, it's someone else's fault. He was so pouty and annoying, but that's one in the other column. Autographing that SOB when you went in there and got a W, that's
love
fun.
That. But you're right, though, Danny. Because even though he's won the championships, the entire conversation from a majority of people that I know is we all know Eli Manning isn't a Hall of Famer. We all know he's not a good quarterback. But and then yes. You have the rest of it. Like, I'd rather be Philip Rivers in San Diego with those Super Bowls than Eli Manning in New York with two Super Bowls.
Well, he's going to the Hall because he won two Super Bowls. Like, that's happening.
But everyone knows he shouldn't. Everyone.
Except for, like, Peter King and other, like, New York and New Jersey residents. To them, like, no matter what frame of argument you use, even the people that incorrectly use wins and losses as sort of their judgment, he fails there. Any condition you would have for a Hall of Fame, he's not close. And he's a below-average quarterback in nearly every year that he's played. But he got hot twice. The front four was awesome. They won Super Bowls. You don't take those away. You put those as data points. But they'll never acknowledge anything else because those two Super Bowls happened.
It's nuts. All right, let's go ahead and do this. Let's open up the phones next. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We've got a couple calls on the line. We will take them next. That is Danny Ruggier. I am Chad Dukes. We're here till 3 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.